The Nicky Byrne Show with Jenny Green on 2FM.
Proudly sponsored by Aldi. We've dropped our prices on hundreds of products. Even more reasons to swap to Aldi today.
Lined up in studio with us today, but due to unforeseen circumstances, aka flights, he's still in an airport, but he's on the way over. But he's not going to make it before the end of the show.
I reckon, you know what he said? Oh, I can't be arsed. I'm not getting on the plane to Dublin. Let's find out. Professor Green's on the show.
Yeah, that was exactly what happened.
You rocked. Where are you? Heathrow.
No, I'm at City Airport. I've been here since about 6:30 this morning.
Can what? I just say, Jenny, I don't know if you've ever been to City Airport, but if there's an airport you don't want to get stuck in.
It's bad, is it?
There's nothing in it.
There's nothing here. There's no good grub, nothing.
I got stuck in City Airport about maybe 3 months ago, and literally there's one cafe kind of place that literally has, you know, a few rolls and porridge and nothing. Nothing.
Right, when I get to Dublin, I get to have crackbread.
So yay! There you go.
Well, you
made. We bad news for you, Professor Green. Crackboard is closed down, actually.
joke.
No, I want to joke. They've opened up especially for your arrival.
It's not going to get that bad.
So how the hell are you, by the way? You been good?
Yeah, I've been good, man. Just grafting away, working hard, you know, promoting the book everywhere. It's been good, but I'm looking forward to getting back out on the road and starting the Fall Out Boy tour this evening.
Okay. I have to say it's a fabulous book, and it's a fabulous looking book as well, because it's my favourite. I'm not a big reader. I don't really like kind of various stories and stuff, but I always read autobiographies. It's the one thing I do love. And what made you write this book?
Do you know what? I know I'm only 31 years old, but I've had quite a colourful life.
You certainly have.
plenty of ups and downs. It's been interesting. It's not been boring, I'll tell you that much. But I just feel like I'm moving into a different part of my life now, and it was quite nice to look back on the last 31 years and really just, I suppose in a sense, writing the book, you know, your thoughts in your head, your memories can be a bit of a mumble jumble, but the book had to have structure, so it was almost like organising the last 31 years of my life.
And was there anything that you kind of, when you're going to write an autobiography, you have to be 100% honest, and was there anything that you thought, I don't really want to put that in the book?
I wrote more than what's in the book, you know, and then whittled it down. It had to be, because it's, you know, some things are just, I don't know, probably not that interesting. That was quite, you know, as I say in the prologue, it was quite a difficult task, like working out what to put in there, what people were going to find interesting, what I wanted in there. There was so much to think about. It was a very different process to writing a song. You know, a song I just kind of walk around pacing, waving my hands and coming up with ideas, just rapping off the top of my head. Whereas with the book, the story was already there. I didn't really have to search for any creativity. I just had to write the story. So it was a very different discipline I had to learn.
There's some great pictures in the book. We're looking at it here now. A lovely picture of you starting school, I would have said, when you look a little bit nice and shirt and tied and nice and respectable.
Yeah.
What happened?
listen, joking aside, I'm looking here as well. I presume one of the toughest parts of you was speaking about your dad in the book.
Yeah.
When you're doing autobiography, as Jenny said, I suppose you have to go there if you're going to do it. But it must have been so tough for you.
It was. It kicked up a lot of silt from the bottom of the pond, and I was left to deal with the emotions that were left over. But I think that was an important part of it. It made me process a lot, and I guess I gained a lot of closure from it. And the great thing about having that in the book, if any good can come from such a terribly negative situation, it's just the awareness that it's raising. For suicide and depression, especially in men, you know, they're such taboo subjects. Men don't talk themselves. No one really talks about it. Mm. And it's just great using the stage that I have to raise awareness.
Yeah, I know. It says in the book here, you know, you had a difficult last conversation with your dad. How did you react after your dad's death? You went out and, I suppose, during the grieving process, got a couple of tattoos and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, that wasn't just, you know, that wasn't necessarily a response to what happened. I just got on with things, to be honest. I felt like at that point I really had to start taking things seriously. I had to take a long, hard look at myself and start dealing with some of the issues that I had, because I never wanted to end up in that position.
Right, okay.
And do you feel that that your music has kind of, you know, brought you out of that? Does it actually give you also something more to write about? Because when you look at acts like Amy Winehouse and stuff, it was only when she was going through heartbreak or really tough times that she wrote her best material. Do you think that it helps you as well, having all this kind of colourful life?
No, because I've had hits writing about happy stuff. You know, I Need You Tonight, Just Be Good to Green, Remedy, Avalon. There's a whole bunch of stuff that doesn't come from any kind of real personal situation or something horrible that I've been through. I think it's really dangerous when people are used to using pain to fuel their creativity, because once they get themselves into a good place, it's
quite, there's nothing left there.
It's not just that there's nothing left. It's that if there is nothing there, people take a journey towards self sabotage, and that's really dangerous. It's like trying to find a way to relight that fire, so they put themselves into a situation sometimes unknowingly.
Yeah.
Just so as they have something to spur them on. But I think there's a danger of getting to a place where, you get yourself into a situation that you can't get out of, and you screw up everything you've worked so living hard for.
Yeah, you said before as well that you were close to giving up after years of no success and kind of rejection. And one important thing, and I think, it's very important for any young aspiring artist coming up, is to prepare for rejection.
Yeah, I've always said, when people ask me for advice, I don't really feel like I'm that great at giving it, to be honest. But the one thing I would say is you have to be ready for that. It doesn't come overnight. It's not something that happened instantly. I worked for 8 years for Sodal before anything happened for me.
Yeah. So, Jenny, see? Don't give up. You can be a radio star. I'm telling you.
Oh, thanks.
Let's not judge you this morning, but no.
All right. Yeah, today's a good day. But tell us anyway. I mean, we're not going to ask you too many personal details, but yourself and Millie, I do always get a laugh out of this. You're a great one for putting up pictures on Instagram. And I saw recently online, it was like, are they on again, off again? Are they breaking up? And then you put up the best picture from the bat that just made me laugh. And I thought,
they're on again. If you're tweeting or Instagram pictures from the bat,
that's how you end any of that crap.
You know what? No, it wasn't. I don't do anything in response to any of that rubbish. I don't read into it. It's funny. I could probably learn some stuff about my relationship from reading newspaper articles.
I don't know about that.
Anytime. Well, no, just stuff that I don't know. It's like sometimes I read stuff and I was like, really? But I wasn't there. When did this happen? Because I don't remember it. It's funny, all the stuff that gets made up. I just take it with a pinch of salt.
It's that famous line, isn't it?
Carry on as normal.
A source close to the artist said.
I want to know Mr. A source is. I want to get him and strangle him.
I know, we all do. We have to meet the source. Actually, we come up with a character for the show called The Source.
The Source, exactly.
And he knows everybody about everything.
He's a fictional character that the newspapers like to draw upon when they actually don't have one, I think.
Absolutely. It's whoever's writing the article. But, speaking of the newspapers and people talking about you, are you hoping that, after reading the book, that it might change people's opinions of you and it'll get to know you a bit better?
Do you know what? My whole thing with, it's really difficult in my position because you get judged. People form opinions of you based on articles that are exaggerated or, at worst, completely false. If people want to read my book and have an opinion on me after that, then I'm happy for that because they're my words and, they can be taken as they are. I've written them and I'll stand by them. It's the one thing I'd be happy for people to form an opinion on me from.
See, a great picture of you in the book here, just flicking through some of the shots. You on stage in Brixton in 2010 with Lily Allen after the World Cup.
Oh, yeah, we were at a little grubby gig in Brixton. That was funny. We still had our shirts on.
Yeah,
a disastrous bowing out.
who are you supporting, by the way? What football team?
Football? Do you know what? Arsenal for me, but I don't really follow it that much anymore. I'm not as up on it as I used to be.
Right.
You're lucky because we read a survey this morning actually that Man United fans are the ugliest, so you're not. There was no mention of Arsenal actually, so maybe that's a good looking supporter.
Thank God for that.
You had a lucky escape there.
Listen, the book is called Lucky. Professor Green, you're in Easons in O'Connell Street in Dublin tomorrow, signing at 1 p.m. so that'll be fun. If you want to go and meet you, 1 p.m. tomorrow, sign the book. You've had a great career so far, more to come, and you've had, you said yourself, a very colourful life to say the least.
I have indeed, mate. Thank you very much for having me on. I'll see you soon with some new music, and hopefully it'll be face to face next time if my flight doesn't get blooming delayed.
Absolutely.
And listen, you never know, there might be a surprise for you in Dublin with Crackpot. We can't say anymore.
Okay.
Alright, mate.
Alright, see you later.
See you later. Bye bye. Professor Green, everybody. He's stuck in City Airport, supposed to be on the show today, but his flight has been delayed.
But he also will be on the Late Late Show with Ryan tomorrow night, so don't miss that one.
Ryan, should we take a little break?
Sure, let's do